राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो लास्ट थर्सडे वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट वर्स 5 इन द थर्ड चैप्टर कृष्ण वाज सेइंग टू अर्जुन नह कश्चिल क्षणमपि जादु तिष्ठति अकर्मकृत् कार्यदेहि अवशकर्म सर्वप्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः. सो वी वर सेइंग दैट दिस सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन दि सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन इज नॉट फॉर दि फ्यूचर इट हैज टू हैपन हियर टुडे. Not that if we think that, oh, I will do this all my life, what I'm thinking of planning, just like we plan our material life, isn't it? We plan our material life, but in spiritual life, we don't plan things. Spiritual life is knowledge and realization all the time, all the time. As I mentioned before, we shouldn't get caught up in the trap of time. Time is a trap actually on us, isn't it? Thinking that past exists, future will come, I am now passing my time. There is no thing called past. There is no thing called future. They are both false. There is no proper explanation to that, because past is all memory. It's gone. It's not. You cannot retrieve it back again. Future is all imagination. In your mind, you are imagining something. Something will happen in the future. So that should not come in our spiritual life. Spiritual life should be always in the present. What we are doing today, that's it. And that has to be, it is situated in that state. If you act, then one day means it will happen in that state. Realization must happen. That's why Krishna is saying, where we discussed about this, Mama Ashrite Yatandiye. Krishna is saying that Jaramarana Mokshaya, one who wants to free oneself from this cycle of birth and death. Jara Marana Mokshaya, Mama Ashrite Yatandiye. That he will take shelter of me immediately. And then, ya brahma tad vidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. That he will execute his spiritual life in that consciousness without even thinking about what happens about the future or what has happened in the past. It does not affect him at all. He is always executing his spiritual life every moment in this consciousness. And this is an important thing. Mama Ashrate Yathandiye. That his effort is all based on his dependence on Krishna. Not based on his effort, in other words. Everything is, the dependence on Krishna is more important than the effort what he puts it in. So, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see some verses which are related to this. In one instance, Krishna says to Arjuna, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam dadami buddhi yogantam yenamam upayantite. And immediately after that, Krishna said, Tesham evanu kampartam aham ajnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana divena bhaswada. So these two verses are next to each other. I think it is in the 7th chapter, if I am not wrong. If you see that next to each other. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. One who takes a shelter of me all the time, satatam, pridipurvagam, that means in love, or in surrender to me. Which in other words, surrendering to Krishna. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. What does Krishna do? Dadami, Krishna says, I give him buddhi yogam dam. Is it in the 7th or 10th chapter? 7th, isn't it? 10th. 10th, yeah. Yeah. You'll see those verses. They're next to each other.
Is it 10, 8, 9?
Yeah. 10. 10, 10. That's right, yeah.
10, 10.
Yeah. 10, 10, yeah. So, those two verses reflect this. Krishna says there that one is 10:10, another one is 10:11. Yeah. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. I give the intelligence to him to come back to me, in other words. Immediately after that, Krishna says, Tesham evanu kampartham aham ajnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana divena bhaswada. That Krishna is staying situated within his heart. Krishna says, anukampartham aham ajnanajam tama. The darkness in him is destroyed. Nashayami atma bhavasto. That means he is situated, Krishna says, he is situated in his heart as Atmabhavam. Atmabhavam is as a soul and illuminates him from inside. Illumination doesn't happen from outside. It happens from inside. Nashayami Atmabhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. The torchlight of knowledge is switched on from inside. So most of us are understanding that we will execute spiritual life and one day it will come out from somewhere. If you think like that, it will never happen. If it has to happen, it has to happen from inside. Krishna says very clearly there, Nashayami Atma Bhavasto. If you look at the translation of those verses, you will see there, Nashayami Atma Bhavasto. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge darkness born of ignorance. Krishna says there, isn't it? So, Krishna says, I'll destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So the ignorance is inside, the knowledge is also inside, the illumination also has to happen inside, nothing is outside. That's the most important thing. We must get out of this illusion that I'm doing sadhana, it will happen one day. If you keep on thinking like that and doing things, it will never happen. It all has to happen inside. That's an important point. Out of compassion for them, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with nashayami atma bhavasto. Atma bhavasto means within. As atma bhava means soul. The spiritual as a soul inside. The soul, what is inside, it comes out in its pure form as with the knowledge. Knowledge develops inside. Jnana Jivena Parsvada. And if you look into the purport in the earlier, next chapter, verse before that, Tesham Sadada Yuktanam Bhajadam Priti Purvagam Dadami Buddhi Yogandam Yena Upayandide. See, look into the third paragraph, what Prabhupada writes there. He says here, the purport on that. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master. He may be attached to a spiritual organization. But still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. In other words, Prabhupada himself was very clear about this. Just because you are attached to an organization or you became a member of a spiritual organization doesn't give you any guarantee that you are going to make spiritual progress. That depends completely on the individual. You may or may not be a member of an organization. As I said, that when you talk about that in the organization, you have to be a little bit sensitive about it, because organization is there only to propagate their interests. But spiritual interest is a little bit different than the interest of the organization. We all fall into this trap. As soon as you join an organization, you think organization has to grow, and everybody starts working for in that direction, then the spiritual life is lost. It shouldn't happen. Unfortunately, it happens many times. We get absorbed in the organization, thinking that organization has to grow and then we are growing spiritually. No. Organization may grow in a material level, acquiring wealth, properties and followers and all that. But have we really made any progress in spiritual life? This is a different thing completely. That's what Prabhupada is writing very clearly here. May have a bona fide spiritual master. He may be attached to a spiritual organization. But still, if he's not intelligent enough to make progress, that means he has to make the progress himself. Nobody else is going to do it for us. And then Krishna from within him gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. So those two verses you can see is very important in the sense that it's telling us that all this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that has to start working inside. If you don't take it on board and start constantly meditating on them and realize that in this life, then chance is lost. You may have done a lot for the organization. You may have done a lot for the propagation. But if we do not take it ourselves into our own heart and start reflecting on, contemplating on that and make that as our own realization, otherwise the chance is lost. That's lost. Then there is not going to come back again. You won't get that opportunity again, because in this human body, what Krishna is saying is that this is the only thing one has to do. That what Krishna says, whatever I have spoken, to take it seriously and to make it as our own realization, nothing else. You may have done something for organization or not, that's immaterial, that's another thing. So that's why it is. Mamashrita Yathandiye, Krishna says here, Bhagavan Krishna was talking about this. And what is the symptom of that? That if you are doing that, Krishna says there are certain symptoms along with that. What is that symptom? Symptom is this, that if you do not execute sadhana properly, so sadhana will become a vedana. Do you know what vedana means? Vedana means pain. Vedana means pain. If you don't execute sadhana with this understanding, sadhana will simply become a burden. And it will become a pain. For many of us, it becomes a pain at the end. Oh, I've made this commitment. And what do I do now? In that sort of situation will happen. Sadhana will become a pain. Therefore, Krishna is saying, the symptom of this proper sadhana is that he is always happy. The person is happy. So, the happy state of mind. Mamashrita Yadandiye. That's why Krishna says here that whatever you may achieve in this world, the perfection is only inside in that soul. Nowhere else there is any perfection. And you cannot bring that perfection from outside. It's already there in the... You see, the sages have contemplated these things to such a depth. They have seen that and realized that, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam we're discussing, that the perfection is only there. Nowhere else there is any perfection in this world. If we look for perfection elsewhere, we'll be disappointed. So they're saying there, from that perfection, imperfections have come. These are all imperfections. Body is imperfection. Mind is imperfection. Senses are imperfection. Intelligence is imperfection. And equally, false ego is imperfection. They are all imperfections that has come from that perfection. So, realizing that perfection is the only way to become perfect in ourselves. So, Krishna is saying here that whatever you may acquire in this world, that will all leave you one day. And whatever you may achieve in this world, that whatever you may have in this world, if you don't have that perfection inside, completeness, in other words, what they call as the purnada, inside, it will not make us happy. That's why it is like that. So just like material life, we acquire so many things, but after some time that happiness goes away from that, isn't it? Why? Because it's not based on the soul. It's not coming from the soul. It's coming from material objects. So, similarly, sadhana also, even if there is a lot of pain in this world, even if there is a lot of pain in this world, if the sadhana is based on this principle, it will bring happiness inside. The pain will not disturb us. Mama ashrite yadandiye. That's why Krishna was saying like that. What the reason why Krishna used those words, mama ashrite yadandiye, means that while executing this spiritual life, even if there is some imperfections outside, it will not disturb us because we are fixed on the anchor to the right source, the soul inside. On the other hand, if you leave that source where you are anchored to, you leave that and take shelter of all the things elsewhere, Krishna says it will constantly bring distress. Constantly bring distress. So therefore, what does that mean, taking Krishna, mamashrita yadandiye means? There's only one explanation to that. Acharyas are saying, always happy. Always happy state. Why? Once you take Krishna shelter, the symptom of that, whether you've taken Krishna shelter or not, is that you're always happy. You're not unhappy about life. Then you started experiencing that taking shelter of Krishna as an experience, happiness or satisfaction. That means when Krishna is looking after me, why should I have dissatisfaction in life? And only there can be happiness. So that state of experience of the soul, and that includes everything, all inclusivity is. And always everything is covered within that. We get, after doing that, if you constantly do that, you will get a glimpse, and there is an indication of that. That happiness which comes from mind, senses, body, intelligence, we think that happiness is through these agents. We think like that. But to show to us that happiness is not through any of these things is why Krishna puts us into deep sleep and gives us a glimpse of that in the deep sleep. Mistakenly, or our own misunderstanding, we are thinking that happiness is in the body, happiness is in the mind, happiness is in the intelligence and the senses and the ego. These are all our centers of happiness, isn't it? Our centers of happiness, all these things. That's our daily experience. But Krishna is proving to us every day, every single day, take us into deep sleep and puts us into deep sleep and proves to us that without all that, you can experience the real happiness in the deep sleep state. That without using the mind, without using the body, senses, want some happiness we are experiencing in the deep sleep. And there is no gradation in this happiness. There is no gradation. It doesn't increase, it doesn't decrease. As soon as you go into deep sleep state, the happiness that you get is same for everyone. You can't measure that. It didn't come from the body, it didn't come from the mind. And where did it come then? It came from Krishna and the Yami. It came from Krishna. That is why in that Manduka Upanishad, Krishna says, Esha Sarveshwaraha. Esha Sarvajnaha. Sarveshwaraha means Esha, that thing, is Sarveshwara, is complete controller who is inside. And Esha Sarvajnaha, and he knows everything. Who? That person inside. Andaryami inside knows everything. Then from Andaryami, all the super soul inside, in Sushupti states, that happiness had come to us. That happiness had come to us. if we can experience that happiness in full consciousness in the vacant state, and then that is the question, and that is known as Brahmavidya. When Krishna talked about Brahmavidya, the science of knowledge of the self, that's what it means. Knowledge of the self means this, experiencing that happiness what we experienced in the deep sleep state. If we can experience that in our vacant state, in full consciousness, that happiness, then Krishna calls that as Brahmavidya. Remember, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha, Krishna said. So, if we experience that for some time in life, Krishna says, even if you have lost it afterwards, it will come back and take care of it. Take care of us at the time of death. These are all, actually you may experience that, why it is spoken in different ways. Because the reason for that is, sometimes a person who has taken spiritual life, his mind will waver in different times, in different way. Mind will pull him in different directions. In all that times, if the truth is spoken somehow, you never know in which situation he will get it, at what stage he will get it. That's very difficult to say. Depends on the power of contemplation inside. How much contemplation we do, all this. Contemplation is an important thing in spiritual life. That when you know that everything is packed inside, it's pointless to be too external, to looking all the time, external happiness. And this is the main disease what we have got. Our education is external, our environment is very external, the society is external, everything is external. Nothing is giving any inward-looking nature in us. Yeah, and in the Bhagavadam you will see they are called as Andarmukham. Andarmukhatva means inward-looking nature. Vedavyasa Maharshi is inward-looking person. You remember when Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he compiled the Srimad Bhagavadam in the beginning, that he felt a distress, isn't it? What have I done wrong? Why am I not feeling happiness inside? So he compiled Brahma Sutram, Mahabharatam, and divided all the Vedas into four and compiled all the Puranas. Still he was not feeling happiness inside. So he did not go immediately looking for a solution. He went inwards looking. Why this has happened? From inside he gets the answer that I have not discussed about Krishna properly. The message has not gone through very well in the other literature. And then it is after that Sri Narada Maharshi comes and tells him. It is after this. But already he has got the answer. That must be the reason he thinks like that. Vedavyasa Maharshi thinks at that time that I have not properly glorified Krishna. So this thought was going through him. It is then that Sri Narada Maharshi comes and then the discussion between Narada Maharshi and Vedavyasa in the fifth chapter, in the first canto. You can read that. So there also that's the indication to us, it has to happen inside. As soon as we have problem in life, we shouldn't go running to others, telling what's the solution, what's the answer. We should go back inwards and start looking, why is this happening? What has caused this? And the answer will come from inside, what is causing actually the problem. This is spiritual life. Not going for a solution elsewhere. We go at everybody, isn't it? Saying, what should I do now? This is happening. Nothing has to be done. It's going inwards and looking for the solution inside. That's why he says here that this is called Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means this, going inwards. In Bhagavad Gita, if you look, the original Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, for some reason, Prabhupada hasn't put that in. Every chapter finishes like this. Bhagavad Gita, Upanishadsu, Brahmavidyayam, Yoga Shastre, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Pradamodhyaya. Arjuna Vishade Yogo Nama, Pradamodhyaya. This is how each chapter will finish with this statement. It's a part of the Bhagavad Gita. So, what does it say? It says, Gita Shastram. Shastram, Gita is a, Bhagavad Gita is a Shastram. Upanishadsu, it has come from Upanishads. What does it talk about? Two things. Brahmavidya and Yoga Shastram. Brahmavidyayam Yoga Shastre. It talks like that. So, on the one side it's a Yoga Shastram. On the other side it is Brahmavidya. What is that difference? Difference is that the shastram that controls our life in favor of developing Brahma Vidya is called Yoga Shastram. The shastram that controls our, regulates our life, our material life in such a way that it develops Brahma Vidya inside, the spiritual knowledge inside, that is called Yoga Shastram. That's why it is called like that. Upanishalsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. Arjuna Vishada Yogo Nama Pradhamodhyaya. This is how each chapter ends. So that is what Brahma Vidya means. So Brahma Vidya, what does Brahma Vidya do? Brahma Vidya shows us, proves to us that each of us are perfect inside, complete within ourselves. Only when you have imperfection or incompleteness that you are trying to complete it from outside. Isn't it? When we feel we are not complete inside, we are thinking that it has to come from outside, then we look for completion from outside. We want to bring it in something. But this science is showing to us, to show to us that our completion, perfectness inside is there already. It doesn't have to come from outside. That is called Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is that. Perfection is already inside. It doesn't have to come from anywhere. So anywhere else. Spiritual life means that how to Dhyalpa Vidya. Sorry. Dhyalpa Vidya. Spiritual life is nothing but favorably how to how to regulate the material life. Material life means this world life outside. How to regulate it properly to develop this Brahma Vidya inside. That's what it is called Yoga Shastram. That's what it is all about. Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. All this is the Shastram related to that. How to develop this realization of that perfection inside us. We are perfect. Each one of us are perfect within ourselves. But imperfections are felt because of the... we have left that perfection and fell into this trap of Maya, time, place and all that kind of things. So, not otherwise. The goal is not pranayama and all other things are there, but that is not the goal. So Krishna is saying here, karma yogam is nothing but that. That to make us realize that we are perfect within us. And all our life, the sages have designed it in that way. They have structured our life in that way. What was that? How to develop our internal life, spiritual life. How to develop our internal life. How to develop it properly. So the sages gave us a lifestyle in that way. So that we can develop our inside. Not to develop outside. Sages have never told us how to develop outside. Outside, as far as they are concerned, is to be made to the very minimum. To the very minimum. What we have done is we have completely destroyed this inward-looking nature. And totally we got absorbed in the world outside. So, sage's approach is not to give too much importance to what goes on outside. Not to give too much importance. Because, not that they could not develop it. If they wanted to develop it, they would have developed it. But they have already seen that whatever you may do outside, it won't give perfection. This they have realized. The sages realized that no matter what you do outside, you can never reach perfection there in the outside world. And they also found out that the perfection is inside. So because it is like that, this is Krishna's creation is like that. There's nothing you can do about it. Perfection is inside, not outside. They found this out. And because they found this out, they thought, give the least importance to what is going on outside. And not at all give any importance to what happens outside. And not to worry about the development of it. And people start saying that when you do that, they say you are a third world country and you are not developing and all. What to tell these people when they come up with this kind of logic? Because they don't even understand there is a life inside and there is a perfection inside. They are completely unaware of that. So they keep pushing this, pushing, and you're pushing the whole world in that direction, and that is what is causing this problem. Otherwise, and because of that, we have so much fighting, quarreling, arguing, and all that kind of what goes on. It comes from this. Sages knew these things much before. Not that they didn't know these things. They knew that the only perfection is inside, not outside. How do you know that? If you look into Upanishads, you will find that statement. It is in the Mundaka Upanishad. There is a statement like this. Pariksha Logan Karmajidan Abhramano. Pariksha Logan means they have experimented with the world. They have experimented with the world. Nirvedayal Nirvedamayan Asatkrakradena. That means Tad Vijnanartham Sadguru Sagurumeva Abhigachet Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. It's a famous statement in the Mundaka Upanishad. Prabhupada quotes that also in the Bhagavatam in many places, you will see. Pariksha Logan Karmachitan. Krishna says here, realizing this, the seeker should abandon his desire and attachments for things which are transient. Nirvedamayan agradakradena. And respectfully approach a teacher who is qualified by learning and conduct to impart the higher knowledge. So, Pariksha Logan Karmajidana Brahmano Nirvedamayan Asatkrita Kradena Tad Vijnanartham Sagurum Eva Abhigachet Sashamit Pani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. These are statements in the Upanishads to show to us that the sages thought in a different direction completely. That because they realized that externally by karmam, if you think that you can make your karmam perfect, perfection in karmam, they have tried all this, that through karmam they have tried to make it perfect. And they kept on trying this, and whatever happiness you can experience through that, they have made experiments with that, and they realize that whatever perfection you may bring or excellence you may bring, you will always be a beggar inside. It'll always be a beggar inside. We can see that in life, so many people, they work very hard, earn a lot of wealth, a lot of fame, inside empty at the end. Complete dissatisfaction inside. It happens to people that so much excellence, everything they try to acquire externally, wealth, fame, followers, inside is empty at the end, because it cannot bring perfection inside. That's what they have already experimented, all these things. Sages have already experimented. Pariksha Logan Karmachitan Agradakradena. So you can also see this in the life of sometimes even scientists who are trying to do this externally, isn't it? They've gone externally. And some scientists, probably you may or may not know, very intelligent scientists and very intelligent on a material level, they have gone to America and worked very hard to get recognition. Some of them made it, some of them didn't make it. They were very competent, capable people on the scientific field, and they tried very hard, didn't happen. And those who didn't make it, some of them felt extremely depressed in their life. And that absence of fulfillment never came there inside. And some of them, they have, even after acquiring this Nobel Prize and all kinds of prizes, whatever, they felt so dissatisfied, some of them even committed suicide. That's in the history. Some Nobel Prize winners who achieved some outstanding performance in the science, they were totally unhappy and left this world in total unhappiness. Why? On the wrong platform, they were looking for happiness. Perfection, in other words. So, because they didn't get the recognition they wanted, or they got the recognition still not feeling happy. Everything that is outside is limited. Everything that is outside is limited. Because, as I said before, that the whatever excellence you may bring inside, inside we are a beggar still. We are still a beggar. Beggar means that desiring more. That's what the sign of symptom of beggarness, isn't it? You're a beggar. As long as you are desiring, you are a beggar. So that nature does not leave us till this perfection don't happen inside. That completion inside, perfection inside. That's why sometimes you see some people, they have nothing in this world, but inside absolute peace, total in peace with inside. Some people, they have everything in this world, but always in distress. Why this contrast? It's because of this. Therefore, the sages have created a type of lifestyle for us. What do they say? Yena kena pivayena. Yena kena pivayena. Somehow or the other, live in this world. Keep your life going. And whatever you get, as far as eating and sleeping and clothing is concerned, manage it somehow. What is necessary? Just to keep the body in a reasonably healthy state. Only for to keep that little health in this life. And that much attention you give to the world outside. Just enough to keep the body and in a reasonable health. What is that's necessary? To that extent, give the attention to the world outside. And all the balance energy turn inwards. That was their way of life. All the remaining energy to turn inwards. This was the way they lived. And what do we do? The way we live, 100% time, 100% energy for maintaining the body, and considers ourselves to be very advanced. And Krishna is repeatedly telling us this. If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he told Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, ahamit anyada buddhi. As soon as you have fallen into that, this is anyada buddhi. This looking external is anyada buddhi. Ulsarpadi rajogoram tado vaigarigam mana. That ghora rajas or powerful rajogunam will pop up inside, and you come to that platform of the mind, vaigarigam, and you'll become emotional, mental. And we call people like that. He's mental, we say. What does that mean? This is what it is. Tado vaigarigam mana. And then Krishna says, one day you have to learn one thing. What is that? Karmani dukodarkani. Every karma in this world will only bring distress at the end. Only if you have come to that realization, you can withdraw from karma. Otherwise, people won't withdraw from karma. They'll keep on doing karma, 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 karma. They'll mad after karma. And this karma will eventually end up... Karma is coming from where? From Rajogunam, isn't it? Rajogunam is the source of karma. Krishna is saying, karmani dukodarkani. It is only bringing distress. They are not realizing that, Krishna says. In the Bhagavadam, that statement is there, Uddhava. So here, here it is, that keep what is minimum necessary to keep this body in a healthy state, that much you take from world outside, and that much attention only you should give to the body as well as to the world outside. Not more than that. Every other energy you should reveal inside. We all have some misunderstanding here. We are thinking when a little bit happens to the body, we think, oh, let me get my health first right, and then I will practice spiritual life. It won't happen. It will never happen. Where if you can't wait till the body is in a proper state, body is in, or mind is in a proper state, or your job is in a proper state, or your family is in a proper state. After all this is completed, if you think you are going to take the spiritual life, and then you are thinking, I'll start my chanting at the age of 68 or 70, after retirement, and then you will give 10, 15 years for, you say, for chanting. Who knows, we will live all that. Who knows that it will happen? Where is the guarantee? Therefore, the sages' philosophy, all the sages, Upanishads are all telling us this one thing, that give the minimum attention what is necessary in this world to maintain this body, that much you can take from here, but let the serious business is inside. Let that go on inside. Let that not go get lost in this process of going in the external world to making a living. That's the main message from Krishna. So here, one story which I mentioned also before, that how people live like this. There are many, many people who live like that, even today. We don't come to know them, why? Because we are used to only the world outside. We are not used to the world inside. And those who are living in the world inside, they won't be interested in talking to the people who are living in the world outside. That's also there. Because they'll see that you are caught up, why should I get caught up in that? That's what they will think about it. When they see people like us, who are so busy in the world outside, their nature will be that he is already gone, what I can do about it? He's not done himself, his own. So those who are living in the inside world, generally, they would not be too concerned about the people who are living in the world outside. So, but there is a story, just to tell you, which I've spoken also before, not a very old story, a person who lived not long ago, and well-known story also, and probably it may give you some insight into this. If I tell you about the story about Tukaram, Namadev, Janeshwar and all that, you may even think that, oh, it's all happened long time ago. When you bring something from the history, from the long way behind, then people start thinking, oh, it cannot be relevant. Who knows what happened, and all kinds of doubts will come. But this is not a story like that. This has happened in the very recent times, and many people are still living who have experienced this, what has happened to that person. So, living the inside world is not a new thing. That is Krishna's mercy. That's what Krishna is saying, that tesham eva anugambartham aham ajnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dibena bhaswada. When Krishna says, this is what it means, that he gives you that direction to go inward. And then the knowledge starts developing from inside. This person's name was Venkateshwar Shastri. He was a Shastri. Shastri means one who has studied the Shastra. He was into astrology in a big way. In the ancient times, Brahmana studied different branches of ancient times. I mean, even not long ago, say about 50, 60 years ago, even this was quite prominent, that they studied different branches of the Vedic literature according to their taste, what they had found. So, he was a great astrologer. Astrology is a branch of the Vedas, isn't it? He was a great astrologer. Astrology and Ayurveda works on two principles, Upasana. The Upasana, those astrologers, they perform strong Upasana on the nine planets, Navagrahas they called. And the Ayurveda physicians, they perform Upasana on the Dhanvantari Murti. This is the, because Dhanvantari is the preceptor of Ayurveda, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavatam, you can see who brought Ayurveda to this world. Dhanvantari brought Ayurveda. And the nine planets, they reveal the signs to the astrologers. So generally, astrologers is not, nowadays it's all different. It's become so commercialized now. You can see how astrology works. Astrologer has got the best computer in the world. And he puts in all the data, fills it and prints it out and gives it to you. This is not astrology. Strictly speaking, that's not the traditional astrology ran. Traditionally, astrology in Ayurveda ran on the strength of the Upasana or the way they conducted their life. Now, most of the astrologers and good physicians, they won't even come out of the house to treat somebody before 11, 12 o'clock in the morning. Why? All morning hours is spent on the Upasana, serving the deities whom they are seriously worshipping. Whether it is Dhanvantari or the nine planets, whomever they are worshipping, they'll be busy with their worship. So first thing, from early hours in the morning, they continue with their Upasana for a long period of time. After they finish that, only then they will touch the patients, or they look at the patients, or they will look into anybody's chart, or anything like that. They will engage in that. This was the system in those days. And some of the kings, they were very fond of these things. They themselves were good at that. Some kings were very experts at these things. Plus, when they have found someone who had a deeper understanding of these things, they retained them in the palace, in their assembly. They will look after them. Because kings enjoy discussing all these things, isn't it? Nowadays, if you look at it, the only thing they want is economic advisors, isn't it? They got a team of people to advise the government on economy. There's nothing else. All other issues are not important. And so, and these economic advisors tell you what you should do with the interest rate, and they keep changing up and down. All this is going on today. So anyway, the kings were a little bit more intelligent. They were spiritual in that sense, that they had more interest in this side of the knowledge of the Jyotisham astrology. So there is a system called Prasnam. Prasnam means that a group of astrologers sitting together and discussing various issues related to the kingdom, or related to the king individually, or related to some prominent people, or related to the enemy, and things like that. In the past, the wars were not fought as and when it suited. They fought the wars looking into all these aspects before they went into war with somebody else. So, Venkateshwara Shastri was an astrologer who was very fond of this prasnam. Prasnam means in discussion with others in a group, you discuss. And in the meeting, they will raise different issues. Different issues will be raised, and mutually they have to discuss and come to a consensus based on the shastram. They have to come to a consensus, because shastram is a big thing, and sometimes it's impossible for one person to see all aspects of the problem and come to a proper solution. So it is that reason that it is put forward to a group of people, all astrologers, all proficient in their science, all doing strong upasana, and they sit together and they discuss and find a solution. And sometimes when they have found the solution, it will come out so accurate that you will see that the problem that was created by that particular imperfection in the temple worship or in the management of the kingdom, that was resolved by this. That's why they had absolute faith in these things. And the kings had the faith, and those who did this, they also didn't do it for the sake of any personal gain. It was purely that the genuine interest in their side, that the science does exist, how to do this. So he was like that. Actually, all these sciences of Ayurvedam, astrology, and all these kinds of sciences, in one sense, it's all a fun. It's all a fun. Why is it like that? Because some people, if they treat you, you will get cured. Another person who has studied the same Ayurvedam, he treats you, you don't get cured. It has happened. So many times it happens. Then people think, which is the best one to go to? People say like that, isn't it? And similarly, one astrologer says something, it happens. Another person who is equally knowledgeable, he says it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So we will think that they didn't do the job properly, that's why it has happened. But it is not that. It is not due to your studies. It is all the power of the Antaryami inside. He is the one who is dictating to you from inside. Inside, what to say and what not to say. And the astrologers knows this. Ayurvedic physicians also knows this very well. Not today, I'm talking about this a little bit ago. Now it has come changing so fast that they have started teaching Ayurvedam the way the modern system, allopathy system is. That you start a university and select the students from the colleges and churn them out like a conveyor belt. Ayurvedic physicians from that. And therefore, the result also is like that. And they are also only interested in getting a job, a doctor's job in Ayurvedic college or Ayurvedic hospital. And they don't have any. But relatively, you find Ayurvedic doctors are a little bit more spiritually developed than the allopathy doctors. You can see that wherever you go. Ayurvedic doctors are a little bit more spiritually developed than allopathy doctors, because they do recognize the presence of the soul inside, the Antaryami inside, and they are also more reflective and contemplative than the modern medical doctors from the college. So the thing is this, that it is the power of Antaryami that actually works. Now that Antaryami power has gone away, so Ayurvedam has also fallen into the same problem like allopathy. But in the past, Ayurveda was totally dependent on the power of Antaryami. Antaryami was the key force behind the diagnosis and the treatment as well. Many, many illnesses which were never cured through allopathy, they brought the patients to Europe, America, tried to treat them, couldn't get cured, they come back and got cured through Ayurveda. There are many stories, very incidents which has happened in that way. But those personalities, they were like this. They are completely dependent on the strength of the Antaryami force inside. So, sometimes, even yogis who have a lot more realization of the Antaryami, when they say something, it will happen. Even if they have not studied astrology. Even if they have not studied astrology. So, what's actually happening is that he is, by his upasana of Antaryami, when he is speaking, he is putting the truth onto the Antaryami, taking it from himself and putting it onto the Antaryami, and gives the truthfulness to the Antaryami rather than to the individual. When we, on the platform of false ego, making any conclusions or any solutions to the problem, when we do it from the platform of false ego, it happens one way. When you, the same thing, if you give that truth, hands over to the Antaryami, and Antaryami does it, it happens in another way. There's a big difference between the two. See, the false ego is always working, isn't it? Now, if you go to a doctor, what does he do? Okay, he has got a lot of technology behind him. He knows these things happen, these things should be the result. That's the way he analyzes it, isn't it? But completely on a material body, you can't say like that. That's why many times, many illnesses, doctors don't have an answer for that. Cancer, asthma, and illnesses related to your own immunity system. They don't have an answer to that. They just don't know. And with the best of the medical facilities, they're also helpless about it. Okay, they have developed a lot of scan machines and all kinds of things they have developed. But that is not solving all the problems related to the body, isn't it? When you are in a serious crisis, when you don't know what is causing that, that means you start thinking, what is the use of all this, what we have developed, if it's not going to solve the problem? So, this is why. But that is where Antaryami's power comes in. That they are able to, most of the Ayurvedic physicians, what facilities they had? Nothing. They just stayed at home and they looked at the patients and they were able to see what was happening inside, what the problem was, what was causing the problem. They didn't have any of these modern equipments, what we have got. We are completely enamored by all this, the glittering nature of this equipments, what we have got. So many equipments and costing so much money. But still no solution to the problem. Body is suffering still. So Antaryami principle is like this, that he can see through and hand over that to the Antaryami and Antaryami shelter. In other words, so he was a person like that. This Venkateshwara Shastri was like that. He was in Cochin as a guest of the king there at that time. This is before independence. That time there were different 600 kings were there in country. And the king in Cochin, he maintained him. Venkateshwara Shastri stayed there. But afterwards, he left Cochin and went to Chettinad. In Tamil Nadu, that's the southern part. He went there. And there he lived with his wife. Wife's name was Vishalakshi. They lived together. And she was also equally devoted to, they followed the same tradition very seriously, spiritual life. That she was very devoted and he was also the same thing. So, often he will, most of the time in the morning hours, as I mentioned, he won't come out of the temple room. He was busy in his worship and his upasana. He performed, the deities he has worshipped was like that. In one instance, when he was in the doing his deity worship in his temple room, a big businessman walked in. One of the businessmen, who was a rich man, and he walked into the house. And what has happened to him was, at that time, he had a very expensive ring on his hand, studded with very expensive jewels and all that. He used to wear it and walk around happily with that. And he lost it. So what he did was, he had many servants at home. He threatened them and tried to find out how anybody has stolen it. The natural way, like everybody does, isn't it? When you have many servants at home, so that's what you do. But he couldn't find, and in them days, it was possible that you could torture them also, the servants, to get it out. Because he couldn't imagine that no thieves have stolen it, nobody burgled or anything, but it was lost inside the house. So naturally, you suspect everybody in the house, isn't it? And he knew the trust must have been taken by some servants. So he has beaten up some of the servants and he has come here to looking for a solution from Venkateshwara Shastri. Venkateshwara Shastri has moved in from Cochin to Chettinad at that time. And he was getting a little bit, not very serious about his material life. Lived so simple in a small house, and this Chettiar came to see him. When he came to see him, that wife, Vishalakshi, went inside and informed the husband that he has come, somebody has come like this. So he says to him, before the wife started telling him the story, as soon as the man arrived, he understood what the problem is inside. And he says to the wife, that tell him that his ring has not been lost, it's still there, and don't tell him not to beat anybody. This was before she even raised the problem, he answered it this way to her. And they were used to it, both husband and wife were used to this kind of transactions at home, because she knew him and he knew her very well, as how they were close in that sense. And he told her to tell him that there is a banana plantation next to the house, there is two or three banana plants have fallen down, if you pull them out and look, they'll be lying there. Thing will be lying there, and don't tell them not to beat anybody. He gave these strict instructions to him, and the Chettiar goes back and finds this ring there, and he comes back and hands over a large amount of money to her for giving this understanding. So in those days it was not so expensive to live. You could live for about 10 rupees, you could manage a whole day. Now for 10 rupees you get 1 kilometer auto rickshaw ride. That's what you get for 10 rupees now. When you get in the auto rickshaw, you see they've written the fares there. Minimum is 10 rupees, and then waiting charges. And they don't even follow that. That was written 2 years ago. And now if you look, he's charging 12 and 15 and all that, minimum. So this is today's 10 rupees. Them days, 10 rupees was a lot of money. 10 rupees was a lot of money. And you couldn't believe that, how much 10 rupees could get you through. It was so valuable. 10 rupee note, if you hold in the hand, you could think you are a rich person that day, at least. So that's difference in the cost of living then. The rice, vegetables, they were all so cheap in the days. And now it's gone completely different, isn't it? So, he gave some 500 rupees or something on that day. And that was a lot of money. Today, if you say 500, it's nothing actually, isn't it? everything, he knew this, that internalization was so strong that he could see. And not only that, due to this internal looking nature, not only that he would help people in this way, but total peace inside all the time, never disturbed, always in peace. That's what Krishna is saying there. Mamashrite yatandiye. That complete shelter means these two things. That always in peace inside and always in a position to do things for others without too much endeavor. So, once what happened was, Venkateshwara Shastri after a while understood all this Jyotisham, astrology and prasnam, all this is all useless. Came to this conclusion, because none of them is connected with the science of the soul, isn't it? Soul is more important. Because when you realize it, when that, this will also happen as you become internal. If you become internal looking nature, you will start realizing the unimportant thing. Everything is valueless in this world. The life becomes meaningless. The family life becomes useless. All these politicians, their activities useless. Business useless. Industry useless. Even the climate change becomes not important. Ash falls down, volcanic eruption, all that becomes no importance to us anymore. Why? Because the seriousness with which we think about the spiritual realization becomes powerful inside, all other aspects of life becomes meaningless and it loses its strength. It becomes absolutely meaningless. It will happen when the person becomes very internal. So this has happened to this Shastraji also, because already he was in Sattvagunam. This is what Sattvagunam does. Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam. Sattvam brings knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Only spiritual knowledge, nothing else. It doesn't bring material knowledge. Sattvagunam won't bring material knowledge. Rajasam brings material knowledge. Not Sattvam. Sattvam brings spiritual knowledge. So this spiritual knowledge started working inside. So he started seeing even this Prasnam, Ayurvedam, Jyotisham, all is all useless, he started feeling. Just imagine that. He started even experiencing that. So it's then that he started looking for, going towards some strong spiritual personality to guidance. He's moving around in that way. So he goes and reaches an ashram there. And the ashram, he met his wife. If they wanted to make money and live a very nice life, they could have done that. But both of them were in poverty because money was no attraction for him. Something he need to eat, he will look for something, either beg and they will share together, husband and wife. Or if they find shelter somewhere to sleep, they'll together sleep in some quiet temples or in a quiet place, they'll go and lie down and sleep there. That is how austere both of them were. Neither of them had any desire for living an opulent or a comfortable life in this world. But both of them were very thirsty for self-realization. There are many, many people like that. We don't notice them, actually. We only look at people who have got maximum wealth, isn't it? And we glorify them. Oh, he's got so much money. Look at the huge temple he has built. All the kind of things we make about that. But that is not the spiritual outlook. Spiritual outlook is you see people who live this internal life all the time, and they developing spiritually, that is their strength. So they were living like that, and it was at that time in that ashram that while he was living, a lady came from America. I mentioned this before, the story, that she came there and she came by Kuwait airline, and she had a change in Kuwait, the flight, and she arrived in this ashram. But all her luggage was lost in Kuwait in the transit. So she came here and she was very depressed because she had 3 or 4 suitcases has come with her for spiritual life to practice. She has brought with her a huge amount of clothes, including water she has brought from America to drink there. Our devotees have done this. I'm telling you that one guru, he brought water from America so that he doesn't get sick when he comes to India. He brought it with him. All these things have happened in the past. So, renunciation, knowledge, they are different. Said when you are in the totally absorbed in the body and the thinking that the body will not get sick if you follow these things, this is all illusion. Body will get sick. When it is meant to get sick, it will get sick. No matter how much you protect the body. It will come from somewhere if you are meant to suffer that way. So he comes and she comes there, and with all her suitcases, and she was in a depressed state because all the suitcases didn't arrive. So she kept writing to them, and somebody suggested to her, there is one old Brahmana there, go and talk to him, Venkateshwara Shastri, referring to him. He may help you to find a solution and all. She never had any faith in that first. She thinks, how can he find out what has happened to me? I'm coming from America and it is lost somewhere else. So says to her that then she went to him and he says to her, don't worry, you have not lost it. It is there and you will get it. You will get it, he says to her. So she starts contacting the Kuwait Airways, phones them up, and in them days, the facility for communication was not so good like today. There was no mobile phones, there was no even landlines, it was difficult to get through. Sometimes the lines won't work. No telefax facility, no even telex was in there, fax was in there. Telegram was there, but if you send a telegram also, you won't get a proper reply from people, if it was not meant to happen. So anyway, she tried all these things and nothing happened, and Kuwait Airways replied back to her saying that luggage has been lost. Luggage has been lost. They confirmed in writing to her, luggage has been lost. And then she realized that it's difficult for her to stay in the ashram without the without all what she has brought with her. She must have brought all the creams and all the for sunburn or whatever. You know what? How people travel these days? When they go, they need so many things, isn't it? To look, maintain this body. And they're going for spiritual life. So anyway, he said like that. So she goes back to him and Shastri says to her, I don't know what they've returned to you, but I can tell you the luggage is not lost, it is still there. I'm seeing the luggage, he says to her. So she decided eventually to go back to States. She didn't want to stay. Because a lot of things she has brought with her were essentials also. So clothes, everything. And it was difficult in that ashram to get procure all these things and to start. She didn't have that faith in spiritual life to that extent. She's obviously read about these things, and she wanted to understand a bit better that inquisitiveness was there inside, but vairagyam wasn't there. The desire was there, but vairagyam wasn't there. So she found it very difficult, so she decided to go back. So she goes back to by the same airline to Kuwait. And when she went to Kuwait at the airport, she had to change her flights, and while wandering around in the transit passengers area, she sees her luggage sitting there. Sees her luggage sitting there. So when she saw the luggage, it is purely marked, all the luggage together, step 3-4 suitcases kept one to each other. And the Kuwait Airlines was telling her that it has been lost. And they've been confirming to her all the time saying that. So what it means is that the realizations of them, of these, in contact with Antaryami, is a different thing altogether. It's not something from our material processes where we find something. Then, just like the he had this doubt in there that Brahmavidya means the science of the soul, is superior to the knowledge of the Ayurvedam or knowledge of the Jyotisham, astrology and all that. So he had a lot of perfection in astrology. He had a lot of perfection in astrology. Then almost perfection, or he had the greatest capacity to do this prediction of things, of future predictions to come. So once he asked about this, a question, that is astrology not a perfect science in itself? So the answer was given, Brahmavidya Sarvavidyam Pratishta. All other vidya, all other knowledge, like the knowledge of the astrology, knowledge of Ayurvedam, and all other branches of knowledge is based on Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya Sarvavidyam Pratishta. That all other vidya, all other knowledge is based on Brahmavidya. If Brahmavidya is known, or the knowledge of the soul is understood, then all other branches will become easily understandable. Because Brahmavidya eats all other knowledge. Brahmavidya eats all other knowledge. Because once you get to know the power of that consciousness inside, and if you put that into astrology, astrology becomes the truth. That is how astrology becomes the truth. Once you have experienced that consciousness inside of the soul, And that realization has an power of that consciousness inside. When you put that on the prasnam or the astrological problem, that astrological problem becomes the truth. The truth is coming from here, inside, not from the problem. It's coming from the truth. If you put it into astrology, astrology becomes the truth. If you put into Ayurvedam, Ayurvedam becomes the truth. If you put that onto a stone, the stone will speak. If you put it on a tree, the tree can speak. Any object in this world, you can make it as a truthful thing if you put this power of Antaryami onto that. This is the Antaryami Vidya. That even comes in the deity worship also. Have you seen? There is a thing called Prana Pradishta. You must have all heard this word, Prana Pradishta. What is Prana Pradishta means? Installation of the deity. They call Prana Pradishta. What is this Prana Pradishta? Prana Pradishta is nothing but that invoking him from inside and putting it onto that stone. Otherwise, it's nothing but a stone, isn't it? Only thing is you have carved a form out of a stone. Otherwise, what's the difference between a stone outside and the stone in the marble in the temple? It's also coming from Rajasthan. It's also coming from Jaipur. And it's nothing much different. A stone which is already there in the... But Prana Pradishta is the one which makes that the presence of the soul or Krishna's presence in that happen. Where did he come from? From here. From inside. Prana Pradishta it is called. Isn't it? So, the truth behind all other truth in this world is the soul. Is the soul. So, after that, Venkateswara Shastri gave up Jyotisham. He gave up Jyotisham. He gave up Prasnam, everything, and simply ran looking for the soul. Then he started realizing, I can't do these things anymore, because all I was doing was this Antaryami principle I was using to see solving the problems of this world. That's no good. He started realizing that, and he became more inward looking and became busy with that. And although he had a lot of opportunity to live a comfortable life, he gave it up. And even though he had to beg for food and to live very rough and sleep very rough, both husband and wife carried on. Wife didn't leave him at that time. Wife didn't leave him at that time because she was also inclined in the same way to continue with that kind of life. This story incident happened, and they begged and they lived in that life and slept in many, many empty vacant temples. They'll go and sleep like that. But that is life. That is another life altogether. So, many times people used to come to him, but more and more he became internal. He withdrew from the world. He withdrew from the world. So he had that kind of knowledge, insight, and Brahmavidya. And therefore, this Brahmavidya has got one problem. The only problem Brahmavidya has, if you really get involved in that, it will make you very poor. That's the problem. That all interest will be lost in this world. It make a wealthy person a poor person. Who says this? Gopis have said this to Krishna. Isn't it? Gopis said this to Krishna. If you remember, Bhikshu Jaryam Charandi. After we have come to know about you, we have become beggars. This is what has happened to us. Gopis says to Krishna this thing. Then don't... Bahava Yavihangam Bhikshu Jaryam Charandi. Gopis says this. If you look into the 47th chapter, in the 10th canto, they are discussing Krishna. But they are not only, they are giving a certain truth about Krishna. What happens? If you become serious in spiritual life, on Krishna consciousness, and you are making progress in that spiritual path, this is what will happen. We'll become beggars in this world. Bahava iha vihangam bhikshu jaryam charandi. Like beggars we are living in this world. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. So, therefore, they are warning all of us, don't go anywhere close to him. There is a warning in the Bhagavatam from gopis, don't go close to Krishna, because you will also become a beggar like us. This is what has happened to us. Now, you can see from the words of gopis' realization that that 47th chapter is an important chapter in the 10th canto, where the Brahmaragidam, That means the bee comes and speaks to Radharani, Radharani's state of mind, and all that is discussed in that. So many birds, Gopi says there, they leave their nest and they are flying around in the sky. And here also, in the same way, we are wandering around in this world without any goal or direction. And for our Venkatesha Shastri also, in the last stage of his life, he became very sick. He became very sick. And he had many problems, arthritis and so many other illnesses. And one day, a visitor comes to see him. Somebody who had this acquaintance, he came to see him. So he says to him, looks at his legs, which was already swollen and extremely painful. And he looks at it and tells him that, why is this, how bad it is your legs are. So he says to him, why you are looking at my leg? The answer from him, this body is only a small part of me, really, 1/4 of it. Why? He says, my real existence is the soul. Body, intelligence, senses, ego, that has all come from that. And this looking at this body, which is only 1/4, and you are making all these comments. Don't look at the 1/4, look at the 3/4, the rest of it, he says to him. So in other words, that person who has spiritually strong that realization inside, a body, whatever happens to the material body, he would not get concerned about it too. There are so many examples like this. These are the lessons to learn. When we get in our body in suffering, I know it's suffering. We know it is suffering, how difficult it is to cope with that. But at the same time, if this knowledge is inside and if we have cultivated this knowledge, it is the proof that the knowledge is working or not. Knowledge is working or not. Chandrasekhara Saraswati, when he was ill, at the age of 75 or 80, something like that, they brought many first-class physicians to treat him. And some of them were extremely good, extremely good. So there was a famous doctor also from the Apollo Hospitals group. They sent one Dr. Ramamurthy. He was a very famous cardiologist. And Ramamurthy was brought in. I don't think he's living now, but he was a famous cardiologist in the Apollo Hospitals group. Apollo is a big hospital group in India. So they bring him to somebody organized to bring him. Actually, the Swamiji didn't want anything. He didn't want anybody to come. This is the difficulty. You will have some people with you who will constantly tell you who are on the bodily identity that you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. The person doesn't want it. He is thinking the body is going anyway. What does it matter? It's not meant to live forever anyway. This realization they have got, all these people. So Chandrasekhara Saraswati was saying that I don't need to see anybody. I'm still as I am because the realization is so good inside. Body is going to go one day. It will last only as long as it's meant to last, and then it will go. So he wouldn't listen. But the disciples, they are the biggest problem. They come, and then they come, and they bring this man to him. Ramamurthy comes, and he comes and examines him. So he didn't say no to him, because they took a lot of trouble to bring him there. So after all the examinations, he says to doctor, I know what you are going to tell me, he says to him. And so doctor says, why? Why did you say that? He says, you're going to tell me that my blood pressure is not right, my kidneys have started failing, and my so many liver is not working. This has been going for the last 20, 30 years, he says. It's not a new thing to me. Your only thing, you're going to put it in writing to me and tell me that this is what's going to happen. So what do you want to do now? I can tell you what you're going to tell me, he says to him, like that. So what I'm saying is that a person, this is what dehastho bina dehastha. He has already left the body, and these people are pulling him back to the body again. This is all in this world. All these things do happen. So, why inside is complete? Inside is complete. That's what the problem is. He's complete inside. From externally, he doesn't want anything, and he's allowing the body to go. So, in the same way, as much as you go, they won't allow you to stay peaceful in this world. As much as you go upwards in the society, there's more problems. You can try this. As much as you mix with the society too much, these problems will happen. And just like there is a kind of illusion this way, that a poor person, when he sees a rich person, he says, oh, if I was rich like him, I wouldn't have had any problems. Similarly, the rich man also sometimes he sees the poor man, how he is sleeping very well compared to him. He gets such good sleep and he is so healthy, he gets envious as well. So, similarly, one who is very learned and he is he's finding more difficult in this world. One who is not learned at all. One who is not learned, like we say that two kinds of people are happy in this world, isn't it? One who has no spiritual knowledge, there's no problem. He gets on with his life every day. And one who is self-realized is also no problem, because he is also out of the body. But this in-between state is the most troublesome state. So, and then sometimes you also feel some people who have educated very well, they've collected all information from this world and stored it in their head. And suddenly they realize it, what good is all these things to me? He realizes that at the end, isn't it? You see, if you live a simple life, you will observe all these things. In simplicity, you can experience these things. That many things, what we have achieved or acquired in this world, were all useless. Completely useless. And vice versa, imperfection. Perfection, you can see. Perfection, you won't find any objects what you see through your eyes. If you want perfection, that's only inside. Where is that? In your own swarupam. Swarupam means in your own identity or the soul. And if you give your attention there, then the experience that comes from that is perfect. Is perfect. And nobody is imperfect. Everyone in this world is perfect. From the Vedanta philosophy, everybody in this world is perfect. But imperfection is in the body. Imperfection is in the body. So if you give attention there, then you will also become imperfect. But if you give attention to the soul, then there is no imperfection anywhere. Integral experience, singular experience. There shouldn't be any split in there, because that thing is complete in itself. Krishna's form, Bhagavad Swarupam it is called. It cannot be imperfect, isn't it? If our attention is there, there is perfection there. If the attention is elsewhere, you will never become experience perfection in life. Remember I talked about this. There is a sweet they prepare called modagam. In that modagam, there is the sweet part is inside, the outside part is the flower. And they make that offer to Ganesh, I think, for the Chaturthi, Ganesh Chaturthi time. All over India you will see this. Different names they call it, but more or less the same sweet. So, Brahmavidya is like that. They compare it with that. So, the inside part is very sweet. So, what the children do, if you give them this, they will remove the external part and take only the sweet thing inside. The other thing, what's not tasty, they'll throw it. It's not tasty for them. But in the external part, even it has got salt in that. Inside, it's got the sweet. The children only want the sweet part of it. So they will remove the outside world and without anyone noticing, they'll take it out and throw it away. So the primary importance, for whom the primary importance or the center pillar in life is Krishna, for them it will become karma yogam. All activities will become karma yogam. And everything else will leave them. Attachment to all other things will leave them. That is the rule. Wherever the primary importance is given, that is where your attachment also. As I mentioned before, yadrashi, yadrashi, shraddha, tadrashi, siddhir bhavati, tadrashi. Wherever our attention is there our shraddha will go. Our shraddha will also go there. If we give importance to primary importance to wealth, money, therefore all the attention will be on the money. Therefore, even while, say for example, you are working in a bank, even though a lot of money comes through, salary is more important, isn't it? They are both money. Salary is money, and all the cash what you are handling is also money. But your salary is more important. because that is what yours is, you consider. It is yours. So, as soon as you retire from life, you forget your work, isn't it? Because you are not giving importance to the work. Work was only done to get some money. But this Brahmavidya, or Krishna says there, this knowledge of spiritual life, that never leaves. This is the difference between spiritual realization and material knowledge, what we acquire in this world. But who have attachment to money, they'll be very concerned about their pensions and how much money is coming in, how much is going out, and every month if it's coming on time, how the investments are going. All we are trying to do things at a time. Is our all investments working properly? Is all properly invested or not? These kind of things. And because the primary thing was attention was there, and the work in the office was secondary. So the secondary thing did not go with you, but the primary thing came with you. Isn't it? The secondary thing was attention toward the work. Work was the secondary thing. Attention, primary thing was the money, what comes from that. So you can see when you retire, that the primary attention what you had stayed with you, the secondary attention left you. That's why as soon as you leave the office the last day after your working life, you don't look back again to come back to the same place again. And that's what it says here, that if that primary attention, instead of being on the money or on anything else, if it moves towards the soul, then it becomes karma yoga. Then it becomes karma yoga. Krishna has begun this whole topic with that discussion, if you remember. Vyavasayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Isn't it? If you remember that words? Vyavasayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, that person who has fixed his focused on spiritual life, his intelligence is one-pointed, single-minded devotion. And the purpose of this whole life in this world is not to do karma or to earn money. It's neither of them. Not to earn money or to do karma. None of this. But to realize that complete thing inside. And you can call this as Krishna, Bhagavan, Bhakti, knowledge, whatever you like to call it, you can call that. Whatever you may say, that it is achieving that, realizing that truth is the goal. The goal is one thing, and after fixing that goal properly, then we can do whatever we want to do in this world. Then what will happen? What will happen is, this karmam, what is our problem? Karmam is the problem for us, isn't it? Natural way, you will do the karmam without attachment. In a natural way, you will do the karmam without any attachment. So that's a way to free ourselves from that. Free ourselves from this bondage of karma. Karma is called bondage, isn't it? If you look, Prabhupada also mentions this. There are five things in the Bhagavad Gita discussed. You know, don't you? The Supreme Personality of Ishvara, Jiva, material nature, time, and karma. Isn't it? These are the five things discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at these five things, they are all subtle things. Have you noticed? Ishvara is subtle. Krishna is subtle. Jiva is subtle. Time is subtle. Karma is subtle. Isn't it? And what's the other one? Prakriti. Material nature is subtle. None of them you can put a form and shape and say that this is how it will react. You can't say that out of these five. And you can see out of these five, Ishvara, Jiva, totally spiritual. Isn't it? Totally spiritual. Jiva has fallen from spiritual condition to the material consciousness. Kalam, Karmam, Prakriti, the other things. That means time. Again, a baffling thing, this time. Isn't it? Everyone, okay, we will, for our convenience sake, we have got the clock, time and all that. But actually, nobody understands this time, really. You can't give a definition to this time. Then the other two things, what's left is material nature. We wonder what this material nature is, isn't it? We keep saying material nature, what is this material nature? Again, unknown entity. And then the last thing is this karma. So, karmam is one very subtle thing which controls us in this world. Kala karma prakriti. If you leave Ishwara and Jiva, they are two separate entities. But kalam, karmam, prakriti, out of that kalam and prakriti is also not in your control. Not in your control. But karmam is directly affecting you. It is in you, already there, this karmam. And freeing from this karmam is the whole science of spiritual life. How to come out of the bondage of this karmam, isn't it? Karma bandhanam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also writes in his songs, karma bandhanam. Karma bandhanam means karmam is the main thing that is, this shariram is called karmam. Another name, prarabdha shariram, prarabdha karmam. This is the name given to this body. So it is from this karmam that all the body has come about. So that's why self-realization means that you have freed yourself from karma. In other words, there is no more karma after that. Karma is finished. So escaping from karma is self-realization. If this karma is not handled properly or managed properly, this very same karma can create more bodies later. If it is handled properly, you can come out of this cycle of karma. That is how powerful this karma is. It's no good reading Bhagavad Gita and saying that, oh, I understood. But the important message here is, what is this self-realization process? What is spiritual life? Spiritual life is all, nothing but freeing yourself from this effect of karma. How to free yourself from the karma? Now, if we start saying, I'm a devotee, or nothing bothers me, no karma for me, that is not acceptable. That doesn't work. Every single human being has to go through karma. He has to go through this karma. Karma is that what has brought him into this body. So, here, if we say like this, Krishna is saying here, that the science we discussed before, isn't it? If you do this karma in such a way that it will not come back to you again and bind you anymore, then that karma is the perfection of karma. That is the perfection of karma. Otherwise, it is not going to help. And that science is, Krishna calls it, and whatever vasana we have inside. If you want to wipe out that vasana from inside, or not allow that vasana to develop again, we have to execute the karma according to that vasana without any attachment and desire for results. I am not doing this. In this consciousness, if you do that without any attachment, it will go away. That vasana will go away. And that is the science of Karma Yogam Krishna is talking about. Science of Karma Yogam Krishna is talking about. So here we have seen that if you do like that, Krishna calls a name for that. When somebody executes karma in that way, he calls it as yajnam. The word yajnam comes from that. Karma will become a yajnam. So at that point, our center is not in karma. When it becomes a yajnam, the center is not karma. At the moment, when we execute any karma, we want to do it to the best, isn't it? That means the center is the karma. But here, that means there is selfishness involved in that. Ego has come in. Swarthada. So, the importance is given there. But when that center shifts from there, not anymore in the karma, that means not anymore in the ego, what is doing that karma, then it goes to the realization, to the soul, then at that point it becomes self-realization. So naturally it happens in the way, like the way we do things today, that everything, I'm doing this, I'm behind it, I'm the one who is doing it. If you try to do it without that understanding, that I'm not, in other words, if you give all your attention in Krishna and execute your karma, that karma in a natural way will become karma yoga. That karma natural way becomes karma yoga. That means if the when we say attention is in Krishna, means not just remembering Krishna, all what Krishna has spoken about karma, that also you have to take into account. What has Krishna told us? Krishna has told us, do it as a yajnam. In order to do it as a yajnam, Krishna says, first thing, that you are not doing it. That understanding, isn't it? Prakriti Krayamanani Gunai. Prakriti is doing this. According to the modes of nature, karma is happening. All this recognition should be there. This is what is accepting Krishna means. Prakriti kremanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Then ahankara vimudhalpa. I am not doing, it is being done through me by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna through material nature is doing this karma through me. This is that understanding. Ahankara vimudhalpa. Kartaham iti manyate. Isn't it? Kartaham, I am the doer, is a false understanding. So constantly if you do that, in that consciousness, Krishna is saying here, karma will become karma yogam. Mind will not go anywhere else. So, it is no point in trying to control all the senses, external senses. Even if you do that, inside, the mind will constantly think about the sense objects. Krishna spoke about that before, isn't it? What did Krishna say? Krishna says there, karmendriyani samyamya. E aste manasasmaran. Remember? A verse before, two verses before. Karmendriyani samyamya e aste manasasmaran. Indriyashu imudhalma mithyajarasam uchyate. Krishna says, one who has controlled the senses outside, but inside always is meditating on the sense objects, always meditating about the sense objects inside, but indriya, indriyanehi samyamya, all indriyams are controlled very well externally, but inside he is meditating on the manasasmaran, in his mind he is meditating on the sense objects, meditating on the sense objects, manasasmaran. Then, Mithyajarasam uchyate. Indriyartha vimudhalma mithyajarasam uchyate. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. It's a very heavy statement, that because it applies to all of us. That's why you may feel a bit guilty when you read that verse. Because we are all controlled externally. But inside, the meditation is going on all the time. And Krishna says that one who is doing that is just a pretender. He's not spiritual. So when that becomes excessive, that meditation inside, that's when we leave Krishna consciousness. And go. This has happened to so many people. Sannyasis, gurus, all kinds of people. That happens. So that's why you shouldn't measure anyone based on the external clothes and the dress. What's going on inside is more important. And some people are very clever. They can go on doing things in this world externally. But inside that, Krishna says there, indriyateshu vimudhalma, inside meditation is going on. Or they will try to manipulate or maneuver things in such a way to fulfill the desires inside. That also you can see that in this world. We're not blaming them for that. That is just the person's nature. Because he has given importance to something else, that's a problem. So here, if you are not honest about all these things, our spiritual life won't go. It will get stuck there. So this one verse is sufficient. If Krishna, like it says here, that the Bhagavad Gita kinchit adhida, that even one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, if you 100% take it on board, your life is successful. That's how powerful Bhagavad Gita is. Just like this verse. If 100%, if it is become your part of life, then your spiritual life, you have realized the truth. See how important it is, Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is saying, karmendriyani samyama ye aste manasasmaran, indriyartha vimodhalpa mithyajara samuchyade. How straightforward can you be more than this? You can never be more straightforward than this, isn't it? And we have to be honest on our side also. We have to think, this is my life. This is what's happening to me as well. That externally I'm trying this, I'm trying that. In front of the world, I'm trying to put up a show that I'm this, I'm that. But inside, mind is not. Mind is not accepting it. So Krishna is saying here, karmendriyani samyamya. I have controlled my karmendriyam or jnanendriyam also. And when the world looks at you, you think that you are okay. They think that he is living a proper life. Yeah, ase manasasmaran, but mind has not left me. Mind is constantly meditating. When can I one day enjoy my life? This thought is not going from inside. And that's why all the planning also comes from that, isn't it? All sorts of planning happens from there. Yeah, ase manasasmaran. Krishna is saying, Indriyartha vimodhalma. He has, for the sake of in senses, which has not left him, that desire inside, vimodhalma. He is mudha. He is fool. And such a soul, mithyajarasa uchyade. He is mithyajaran. That is his. Mithyajara means one who is a pretender. That's a very, mithyajaram actually means heavier than that. Pretender is a very light word. You get away with that, pretender. Mithyajaram actually means one who is very duplicitous and very deceiving nature. That is mithyajaram. Mithyajarasa uchyade. Krishna says like that. So Krishna has given a verdict like that. And this applies to almost all of us in this world. And the one who has not doing that is perfect in spiritual life. You will see all his activities will be on a perfectional platform. Because he has found that perfection inside. So here, Krishna was saying here that because mind will continuously ponder over these things. And if we start, because if we reason is this, that the what I have to achieve in this life is all this happiness what we are looking for, the mind will keep going through these different different thoughts, what is going on inside. But the moment we decide that the goal is not all these things, goal is not all these things, but Krishna is the goal, naturally Krishna is saying the senses will come under the control. Senses will come under the control. In other words, in this verse Krishna said that karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasasmaran indriyartha vimodhalma mithyajarasam uchyade. Isn't it? Here, he is controlling his senses externally with his willpower. Isn't it? With his willpower he is controlling. Like we say, why we don't go and fight with other, kill each other? Because you're frightened of the police or frightened of the law that will be locked up. Or we are frightened we'll get hurt. So some fear, out of fear we are doing that. Isn't it? We follow the rules of this world or the society. So Krishna is saying that is all done by karmendriyani samyamya. You are controlling the senses. Ya aste manasasmaran. But at the same time, inside, nothing has changed. You are still meditating, waiting for an opportunity to enjoy the senses. So here the control is external, isn't it? But Krishna is saying here that if you have made the goal of life as Krishna, or self-realization, the senses will come in a natural way under your control. In a natural way it has to happen. That is why Krishna is saying that it should come from the mind. Now what's happening is you are controlling it by your willpower. Instead, if it happens in a natural way, it will happen from the mind. And that is the point Krishna is making in the next verse. Verse 7 now. You see that connection between the two verses? Okay, text is 7. Yast indriyani manasa.
Yast indriyani manasa.
Niyamyarabhade Arjuna.
Niyamyarabhade
Arjuna. Karmendriyai karma yogam.
Karmendriyai karma yogam.
Asaktasa vishishyate. Yast indriyani manasa. Niyamyarabhade Arjuna. Karmendriyai karma yogam. Asaktasa vishishyate. So, translation. On the other hand, Krishna says, he who controls the senses by the mind and engages his active organs in works of devotion without attachment is by far superior. യസ് ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി മനസ നിയമാരഭതേ അർജുന കർമ്മേന്ദ്രിയൈ കർമ്മയോഗം അസക്താസ വിശിഷ്യത്തെ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് വൺ ഹു കൺട്രോൾസ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് കൺട്രോൾസ് ദ സെൻസസ് ബൈ ദ മൈൻഡ്, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് മൈൻഡ് ഈസ് കൺട്രോളിങ് സെൻസസ്. And Karmen, Niyamarapade Arjuna, Karmendriyai Karmayogam. Whatever he is doing is proper Karmayogam then. Why? Because inside vasanas have gone. He is engaged in karma, no doubt. But what's happening is vasana is getting diminished. Vasana is coming down, isn't it? Because vasanas are getting destroyed in the process of executing the karma. Why? Because senses are not acting out of willpower, but senses are happening in a natural way through the mind. Mind is not going in the direction of sense enjoyment anymore. Mind does not go in the direction of sense enjoyment. Therefore, his mind is not working, functioning. On the other hand, vasanas are going away because of the execution of karma, what he is doing. So Krishna is saying here that such a person, karmendriyehi കർമ്മയോഗം, ഹി ഈസ് എക്സിക്യൂട്ടിംഗ് കർമ്മയോഗം. ഓൺ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് അസക്താസ വിശിഷ്യത്തെ, ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ഹി ഈസ് എക്സിക്യൂട്ടിംഗ് വിത്തൌട്ട് എനി അറ്റാച്ച്മെൻറ്റ്, സോ ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഈസ് പ്രോപ്പർലി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ്. നൗ ഓഫ് കോഴ്സ് പ്രോപ്പർലി സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേറ്റിംഗ് ഹിയർ ഓർഗൻസ് ഇൻ വർക്ക്സ് ഓഫ് ഡിവോഷൻ. നൗ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ബിക്കോസ് പ്രോപ്പർലി ഈസ് എ ഡിവോട്ടി, ഹി റൈറ്റ്സ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ, എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് പുൾഡ് ടുവേർഡ്സ് ഡിവോഷൻ. But in the same paragraph, you look at the purport, Prabhupada writes something else. A few lines before, he says here, such a sincere person, can you see that? Yes, line starting. Person who follows this method is far better situated than the false pretender who adopts show bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living. You can't be more clearer than that, can you? Whatever Prabhupada is saying there is that if you don't do it with the full honesty inside, whatever we do in the spiritual life, if it's not done, if we start bringing our false ego in and start our techniques and tricks to into spiritual life, it will fail. It will not work. We start thinking that, well, I'm in this position as a devotee, I am, so I have to use my intelligence, people say like that. And this intelligence is nothing but crookedness inside. And start applying, bringing all that in, then what will happen is this, what Sir Krishna is saying here, is Tindriyani Manasa. So, in the last verse, Krishna talked about how to control the senses. And he also mentioned that, inside, if he has controlled his senses, and even while the senses are busy externally, the inside the vasanas also, without allowing them to get absorbed in the sense objects, indriya vishayam, indriyani manasa niyamya karmendriyahi karmayogam. Indriyani manasa niyamya karmendriyahi karmayogam. Karmayogam actually, Karmendriyam means Jnanendriyam also is included in that. One who works in that way, he is properly situated. Krishna is saying like that, in that. So, why did Krishna say this? That also we have to know. Why did Krishna say this? Krishna said this because earlier Arjuna asked this question. Remember this? Arjuna asked this question. One who is doing the work, or one who is not doing the work, who is better? He asked that question, isn't it? Earlier he asked that question. And the answer to that, Krishna is giving there. Then, one who is doing the work is a jnani, and if he does not do the work, it does not affect him at all. But after realizing that knowledge, if he does the work, it is still better. Do you understand that difference? A jnani, if he does not engage in work, a jnani, if after self-realization he withdraws from the work, we talked about that. Remember two types, jnana yogena sanghyanam Karmayogena yogina. Jnanayogena sankhyanam is that person who has understood the trouble from karma and self-realization has developed inside and he has withdrawn from the world. Now, this is a very important topic. When you look through different personalities, you will see this. He has withdrawn from the world and is fixed in the knowledge properly. Yeah, that is Jnanayogena Sankhyanam. Krishna is saying here, after he has withdrawn from the world and realized the truth, if he is engaging in karma again, it is still better, he says. Earlier, Krishna says, don't do karma. Withdraw from the karma. Jnanayogena Sankhyanam. After withdrawing from the karma, he stopped activities and completely fixed in the self and realized the truth and situated in the self. But after realizing the self and with this knowledge inside, fully realized, if he engages in activities in this world, it is still better. That's the way Krishna puts it like that. It is more beautiful because when he works like that, after self-realization, you will see the strength of his knowledge even in his work. You will see the strength of that knowledge in his work. Because with completely controlled mind, with the power of the experience of the soul when he is operating in this world, he is not operating without with any motive. Asaktaha, Krishna says. Asaktaha. Then he has nothing to gain from this world. Then if he has nothing to gain from this world, why is he doing that? Isn't it? That is Svabhava Niyatam Karmam. That is the beauty. His Svabhavam or the nature of that person is to do karmam. So Svabhava Niyatam, according to Svabhavam, Krishna will say this later on. You will see in the same chapter, he'll say, Svabhava Niyatam Karma. It is Svabhavam is like that. That is the nature of that person to do karma. So, what kind of karma will he do according to his svabhava, according to his nature? This is where this distinction comes as jnani, bhakta and all that. Person is the one. You call him a bhakta or a jnani according to his svabhava. In realization, there is no difference between jnani, bhakta and all that. In realization, there is no jnani. A bhakta will become more absorbed in the propagation of bhakti. Bhakta will become more absorbed in the propagation of bhakti because that is his svabhavam. His nature is like that. But his realization is not different than a jnani. Realization is the same. People start thinking, separating them all out, saying that this is him, that's him, and in that way we start seeing. But Krishna is saying here that he, according to his svabhavam, he will act at that point. For example, you can see, if you look into the Acharya's life, you will see the same thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered around all the streets chanting the holy name and propagating the holy name everywhere. And that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's svabhava. Nature was like that. Okay, from a devotee's platform, you will see Mahaprabhu as Krishna. In that way, we will speak. But what we have seen today in this world, we have to analyze it from that platform, without taking into account all the who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is or who Shankaracharya is, all that, without looking into that. What we have seen in their activities in this world, you can observe this thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in self-realized state chanted the holy name, distributed the holy name, and tried to help everybody with chanting the holy names of Krishna. Shankaracharya, on the other hand, all over he realized the truth and he spoke about the spiritual knowledge. That was his nature, svabhavam. So practically, in their realizations, there is no difference. It is only in the upadhi the difference is coming. Yeah. So we shouldn't look into the upadhi, we should look into their realization. That's why we must not think that there is differences between all acharyas. There is practically no difference. They are all speaking from the same truth. But according to upadhi, through which they come, upadhi means their svabhava niyatam karma, and that applies to them also. They will act in a particular way. Acharya Swamiji travelled all over, writing stotram, glorifying the different deities, and preaching the knowledge, spiritual knowledge. That was his nature. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated bhakti everywhere. That is Mahaprabhu's nature, in that way. So, And some personalities, they won't go anywhere. They will sit in one place. They will sit in one place. And due to their self-realization and due to their deeper realizations, whoever comes to them, they will share the realization with them. They will share their realizations with them. So even among the jnanis, there is differences. And some people, they will, after self-realization, they will wander around all over the world. Nothing will... That is their nature. So both are self-realized. One person stays at one place. Another person wanders around all over. Wanders around all over. So these differences, what you find? You may ask the question, why is he doing like this? Why is he sitting like this? Who is proper one? You may ask all this kind of... This is all meaningless. Because you are looking into the upadhi. You know what I mean by upadhi? Upadhi means that the self is manifesting through various people in various forms. This medium through which that self-realization is coming out is that particular body, isn't it? So Mahaprabhu's body, it came out in the form of bhakti. Acharya Swamiji's body, it came out in the form of knowledge. So in different acharyas' case, not that they are quarreling each other, you will never see they quarrel each other. It's always the followers they quarrel each other. The acharyas don't fight or quarrel each other because they have that higher level of realization. So there is no quarrel there. The quarrel is all on the lower level. Once you have seen the upadhi is working, upadhi medium is working, and that is subhava niyadam karmam. According to their subhavam, they are acting in this world. But when it comes to that particular upadhi, whatever that is inside them, inside, that it will start coming out through that upadhi. A person who has realized the truth through jnanamargam, because the power of the knowledge is such, in all his activity, that is his subhavam. It becomes his subhavam. It comes through that upadhi outside in one particular way. For a devotee who has become such an intense love for Krishna, or who has developed that personal relationship with Krishna so strongly in that way, that bhakti will come out in all his activities in this world. It will start coming out. So you can look at all the jnanis. This is particularly very clear. Take for example Krishna himself, because he is the greatest realized soul, isn't it? So he was a politician. Krishna was a politician. And he was such a great politician, he was so busy with politics, running between Dwaraka and Indraprastham, Hastinapur, and to go into Jarasandha, and all kinds of things. He was wandering around all over to come to some settlement. Political discussions were going on. In Yoga Vasishtam, there is this comparison between Krishna, Janaka Maharaj, Vasishtha Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami, and all of them. If you look at all four of them, were different. They are all realized, but they all four were different. Sukadeva Goswami did not know even that this world existed. That's why he was wandering around without any clothes on. He had no clothes on. Without any consciousness of this body, he was wandering around in this world. Vasishtha Maharshi, who was prior to him in the parampara, Vasishtha, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavya, Sukadeva Goswami, that's how it comes. Vasishtha Maharshi, on the other hand, when he wakes up in the morning, is very particular about his Sandhyavandanam, performing the Sandhyavandanam, Aupasanam, Brahmayatyam, Agnihotram. These are all for the Brahmanas and the sages who perform this. Rituals in the morning. They have to perform that. And Vasishtha Maharshi was very particular about that. And Sukadeva Goswami, Vasishtha was a realized soul, jnani. Sukadeva Goswami was a jnani as well. Sukadeva was not interested in any of these things. Completely in that realized state, he wanted to move around. King Janaka was also a realized soul, Krishna saying that. Well, how did he do? He wanted to manage the kingdom, even in the state of realization. Krishna, on the other hand, with all kinds of problems with administration, rasa dance, stealing the butter, all kinds of things, Krishna did all these things. You can see the differences between one person to another. Difference is only in the upadhi. Only in the upadhi. One person will not be like the other person. Very unique is each of these upadhis are. So where did this come from? That is the nature of the upadhi. The nature of this upadhi. In realization, they all have the realization of the truth. But in their activities, if you start looking at it, you will see, according to the Upadhi they have, the difference will be there. Just like when you have this electricity, generally this is the example given. When you have the electricity, when it comes through the bulb, it comes in the form of light. When it comes through the energy, the same electricity, when it comes to electric heater, it comes as electricity in the form of heat, isn't it? And when it comes to the fridge, it comes in the form of the cold way. And then similarly, electricity functions through the grinder in one way, isn't it? It runs through the CD player or cassette recorder in one way. So these are all the upadhis. The energy that is going, electricity, is the same, isn't it? If you take a CD and put it in a grinder, what will happen? So upadhi you can't mix. Upadhi is different. If you mix upadhis, you'll be in trouble. Upadhi you don't mix. But the source that is coming through all these upadhis, they are one and the same. They are not different. So while we observe all these great spiritual personalities, no matter personalists or impersonalists, their absolute realization is one and the same. But that what happens to all of us is, we look into the upadhi and start studying things without knowing that the truth behind this is one and the realization is one. The realization is also one. But when it comes through upadhis, it appears as though that it is coming in different forms in front of us. Why? Because we haven't realized the truth. When you realize the truth, you will realize that the truth, what Acharya Swamiji realized, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized, what Ramanujacharya realized, or any other great devotees realized, it's one and the same truth. It's because that is the nature of the soul. That is the nature of the soul. So we'll discuss tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.